If you have your Bible, can I invite you to turn this morning to Numbers in chapter number 9, and let's read God's Word together from verse number 15. Numbers and chapter number 9, and reading from verse 15. And on that day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of testimony at evening, and there was the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. The commandment of the Lord the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. When the cloud tarried along upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. So it was when the cloud abode from evening unto the morning, and that cloud was taken up in the morning, they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. The commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Amen. And God will bless the reading of His Word. Let's just pause together. Let's bow our heads and let's pray and ask for God's help as we come to His Word. Our Father, we want to thank You so much this morning that we can come and bow in the presence of Almighty God, the Maker of heaven and earth. And Father, we thank You that You have instructed us to join together to worship You. But not only that, Father, but so that You might instruct us more from Your precious Word. And Father, we want to thank You for it this morning. We thank You for the lessons that we can learn. And Father, as we come now with Your Word upon our knee, may the Spirit of the living God move in our hearts, filling us with the help that we need to understand these truths, that Father, together we might know the leading of God in our lives as we seek to live them for You. Father, remove all distracting thoughts from our minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to God's Word this morning, we come to a scene that is the camp of Israel as they're camped in the wilderness of Sinai. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here this morning as a camping enthusiast. There's men in our church who love to go camping. We've one man who showed me a picture of him camping on a ledge up a mountain, the tent hanging off it, just not for me. The pictures may be idyllic, but I'd rather prefer the home comforts. But we come here to a camp, and it's the camp of Israel. After they have been led out of Egypt, they have now come to the wilderness, and here they are camped around the tabernacle. You see, God's people were to be a pilgrim people. They were to be found living in tents, always to be ready to be on the move. You see, where most campsites are set up around a fire, the children of Israel were to come around the cloud. And that's what we're going to think about this morning, camping around the cloud. You see, it was a cloud that arrived in camp the day the tabernacle was first finished. Now, the tabernacle, as you will know, was that temporary tent dwelling place where the people of God were to worship, where God came down and dwelt among His people. It was to be set up in the midst, wherever the people of Israel were. And then when God moved them on, the tabernacle was taken down, and they were then to move onwards. And of course, the tabernacle was preceded by the temple. But in verse 15, we read, "And on the day the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle." When that tabernacle tent was first put up, furnished and finally finished, the Shekinah glory of God descended upon it and signaled that Jehovah was in the midst.
This phenomenon was manifested itself in the form of a great cloud, which rested over the tabernacle, standing as a cloud by day and shining as a light by night. This cloud stood as the symbol of the presence of God. I've already spoken to the children this morning about London, but anybody that has been there and stood at the gates of Buckingham Palace will have noticed when the flag is flying that they know the Queen is in residence. And when the cloud was hovering above the tabernacle, reverently speaking, God was in reverence. God was in the midst. This celestial cloud appeared continually throughout the history of Israel. On a similar future occasion when Solomon built Israel's permanent temple, again at the completion of it, this cloud of God's Shekinah glory filled that place. However, not only was this cloud given as a manifestation of God's glory, but it was also given as a pillar of God's guidance. You see, God had not just led his people out of Egypt to simply wander through the wilderness. Now, we know that's exactly where this generation were. That's what they ended up doing. Through unbelief, they were wanderers instead of progressing. However, God in his grace had a destination for his children. That was Canaan. He's going to lead them there. All they had to do was trust and obey. Fix their eyes on this great cloud. Go when it was going. Stay when it stayed. So long as they kept looking to the Lord, he would lead them to the place of promise. Today, for you and I, things haven't changed. In terms of God's desire for us as children, while God no longer gives or guides his children with a cloud, he has given his Son above us, he has given his Spirit within us, and he has given his Scriptures before us, and employing all three as Christians, God desires, like Israel, for us to be daily fellowshipping in his presence and directly following in his path. That's what we're going to look at this morning. As we come to consider camping around this cloud, there's three things for us. There's a word of examination. There's a word of exhortation. And there's a word of encouragement. Simply put, there's a word for all of us this morning, wherever we're found on our walk with God. As we come, first of all, to this word of examination, I want us to look, first of all, at the fact that the camp was surrounding the cloud. The camp was surrounding the cloud. We didn't read it this morning, but if you were to go back to Numbers 2 and verse number 2, you would read that all the people of Israel were to camp in their tribes around the tabernacle. They were to camp facing the tent of meeting on every side. In other words, they were to be found gathered around this cloud of the presence of God. You see, such a pattern put Jehovah in his rightful place. It puts him at the very center of the nation. Simply put, God's people were to live within the locality of the presence and the glory of God. They were to consciously build their lives around him. They weren't to camp where they couldn't see the tabernacle. They weren't to camp where they couldn't access the tabernacle. The camp was to be built around the Lord. What was to be the pattern nationally was also to be the principle individually. You see, such a setting was designed to challenge each citizen of Israel about the centrality of God in their own heart and life. Of course, there came a time when God was no longer found at the heart of the camp of Israel. The people wandered from the Lord, the cloud departed, and it wasn't long before Israel was spiritually barren. However, beloved, this morning, as we think of the picture here, the picture there in that wilderness, what a principle is here for our walk. For there would be one who would come to do away with both the tabernacle and latterly the temple, one who would replace these buildings with his body. And that one, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ came to earth, truly the tabernacle of God was among men. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. At the Savior's penultimate cry upon the cross, that gigantic veil within the temple was split from the top to the bottom by the finger of God, as God would no longer meet with man through the limitations of the law, but upon the grounds of grace. With Christ having lived, died, risen, and ascended back to heaven, he now lives as our access unto God. We can now come right into the holy presence of God, not through a building, but through his blessed body. However, here's the challenge this morning. Just as the children of Israel were to camp, live their lives around that tent, that tabernacle, so now we, as the children of God, are called to live our lives centered around Christ. Beloved, we are to live in the conscious reality that Christ is in the midst. Our lives are to be built upon him. Our lives are to be built around him. Our lives are to be built for him. Of course, every believer has actually become the temple of God. Paul said, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore," and here's the big thing, "therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." No doubt this morning, all of us in our hearts have said, "Amen, we believe this." The question we all must ask ourselves is a searching one. Are we truly camping consciously around Christ? Is all that I do, is all that you do, is all that is done, done for him? Is it done for the glory of God? You see, when God chose to move the children of Israel on, the first thing to move was the tabernacle. The people then followed after it. They followed after the Ark of the Covenant. Where it rested, they rested. It was built first, and the camp was constructed around it. And yet, here's the thing, as I thought about this in my own life, so often we have things the other way around. We set up, or we set out, or we set down in a metaphorical camp, and then we bring the Lord back into the equation. We fit the Lord in around our lives and our plans, rather than fitting our lives in around the Lord and his plans. And yes, praise God, Jesus died to be our Savior. But beloved, this morning we must never, ever forget that he also lives to be our Lord. Jesus himself said to his disciples, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well. Why? For so I am." As such, Christ lays all claim to our lives. Shortly after joining the Navy, a new recruit asked his officer for a pass so that he could go to attend a wedding. The officer gave him the pass but informed the young man that he would have to be back by 7 p.m. sharp on Sunday evening. Distressed, the young recruit said, "You don't understand, sir. I'm in the wedding." The officer turned and looked at him straight and said, "No, son. You don't understand, you're in the Navy." Jesus spoke of having a similar commitment for us to him, calling his disciples to Christ-centered commitment. He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And here's the thing, beloved, this morning, as we look at our lives today, honestly, where is the Lord? Where's the Lord in your life? Where is he in my life? Where is he in our homes? Where is he in our businesses? Where is he in our relationships? Oh, are they truly built around him? Oh, like the Israelites in the tabernacle, are we camped this morning, beloved? Are we camped around Christ? Is he set up in the midst, set up in the place where we're daily beholding him? Secondly, I want you to see, not only did they camp around the camp, but I want you to see, secondly, the course set by the cloud. Oh yes, they camped around the cloud, but secondly, what about the course set by the cloud? Let's look at verses 17 to 23. It says, "And when the cloud was taken up from their tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents." There's some camping around it. "And then at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents." Now, not only were the people to live in close proximity to the presence of the Lord, but they were to be led consciously by the presence of the Lord. Well, you see, we've moved now from living to leading. When the people of Israel were settled for a season, the Shekinah glory cloud rested over the tabernacle. The presence of the Lord remained in their midst. However, when it came the time for the people to start traveling, we read that the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle. And when that happened, then they journeyed. And listen to this. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. In other words, God didn't move when it was convenient to them. Whether a day or night, whether they'd been there for a day, a week, a month, a year, when the time came, when God saw fit to move, the people were to go. The cloud was there as a symbol of God's glory. The cloud was there as a symbol of God's guidance. Now, they were never to leave before God. However, neither were they to linger behind God. In other words, they were never to rush ahead of God, but it was never to be the case that God was gone and they were still staying. Rather, day and night, the Israelites were to be waiting and watching for that cloud to move. They were never to find themselves settled. Beloved, God never once settled saints. In this sense, oh yes, God wants us to be settled with each other. He wants us to be settled in our service for him. He wants us to be settled in all of these other things. But when it comes to progressing with him spiritually, God never wants his saints to be settled. You see, settled saints become stale saints. You see, God desires his people always to be on the move spiritually, always growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God desires for his saints, whether they're young people, and we often equate guidance to younger people, but from we get saved till we go to glory, God desires for us to be seeking his will for what's next in our lives. So often what happens is, Lord, I'm settled here. Oh, Lord, I'm comfortable here. Oh, Lord, I don't want to ask you what's next because I don't want you to move me. The children of Israel on this occasion had been camped for a time at Sinai. Didn't have all the time to go into the context. They had been settled at Sinai for a period of time. However, if you glance over to chapter number 10 and verse number 11, listen to what the Word of God says as we think about this cloud and the course that it set for their lives. It says, "And it came to pass," in verse 11, "on the 20th day of the second month in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran, and they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses." Here in chapter number 10, finally, and in the start of the chapter, there's trumpets mentioned, and the trumpets were used for various things, but the trumpet was blown as the cloud began to move, and the multitude were now on the march. It was time to leave Sinai. You see, God was now opening a new chapter in Israel's history. The time had arrived for them to go in pursuit of the promised land. Now, before we get to the marching, we have to start with the stopping. It was absolutely essential that the children of Israel stop at Sinai. Sinai was essential. Why? Because it was there that God prepared His people for this next stage of their journey. It was there that God refined them into ranks. When they left Egypt, they were marching as a great multitude all over the place. But at Sinai, God refined them and put them into ranks. Knocked off the rough edges. It was there God cleansed and purified His people. It was there God gave them their law, gave them their tabernacle. In other words, it was there they had been taught about holiness and worship. They had been taught about sin and sacrifice. They had been taught more about the goodness and the greatness of God. Simply put, Sinai was their schooling. Here's the thing, however. God didn't want them staying in the place of preparation forever. Rather, when they were ready and God saw fit, He moved the cloud. That cloud then set them on their course towards Canaan. Now, likewise, for us as believers, there are periods of preparation in our life. Maybe that's where you're found this morning. You're at a period of preparation. Times when God stops us at Sinai, stops to refine us, stops to teach us, stops to train us, stops to develop us. Don't bemoan that season of growth and development. But here's the thing, beloved. We must not stay at Sinai forever. There must be a point when we start progressing and pressing on. There must be a point when we start moving towards Canaan. Now, Canaan is not, as many believers and hymn writers write, a picture of heaven. You see, there were battles and troubles and hardship in Canaan. Rather, Canaan is, among other things, a picture of the Christian's inheritance in Christ. It's a picture of living our lives in the center of His will and enjoying the spiritual blessings that come from His hand. And yet so many Christians aren't journeying towards Canaan because they're settled at Sinai. What do we read in Hebrews 6 and 1? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of a faith toward God. In other words, there must be moving. Beloved, when God moves, we must move. When God prompts us, we must be proactive. If the presence of God is a reality in our lives, then the presence of God, as it did in the tabernacle, will rule our lives. We aren't only to live in God's presence, but we are to be led by God's presence. Colossians 3 and 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called one body. Oh, could it be for somebody here this morning that the presence of the Lord is prompting your heart? You're being convicted. You're being compelled. The Lord is looking to move in your life. The Lord is wanting you to take a step of faith. The Lord is looking to lead in your life. The Lord's calling you to move, make some choice, enter some form of service. But today you're trying to fight against it. Lord, I don't want to leave Sinai. An old sailor got lost at sea. So his friends gave him a compass and urged him to use it. The next time he went out in his boat, he followed their advice and took the compass with him. But as usual, he became hopelessly confused and was unable to find land. Finally, he was rescued by his friends. Disgusted and impatient with him, they asked, "Why didn't you use that compass we gave you? You could have saved us a lot of trouble." The sailor responded, "I didn't dare to. I wanted to go north, but as hard as I tried to make the needle aim in that direction, it just kept on pointing southeast." Sometimes God calls us to move or make decisions that don't make us feel comfortable, that force us to go against the grain of what makes sense to us, the question is, am I prepared simply to trust and obey? How sad would it be for the cloud of God's leading to move, for the presence of God to depart, and we decided to ignore it and are left sitting where we have always been. Bible commentator David Guzik asked the question, which would be worse, to have never seen such an amazing visual emblem of God's presence and glory, or to have seen it and then watch it depart? In other words, to have been so very conscious of the Lord's presence in the camp, for you and I to have at one time been so very conscious of the Lord's presence and leading in our lives, but for Him to move and us not to follow and subsequently sacrifice the blessing He wants to bestow. Is there a point this morning for you, dear believer, where years ago God moved and you stayed? And for years, you've camped at the wilderness. Is it time this morning to come back? Is it time to come back and seek the presence of the Lord and ask Him to forgive you for not following Him? Beloved, this morning, is there somebody here today is being challenged and God is on the move and He's asking you to move with Him and you say, Lord, I don't feel comfortable with this. Lord, it's safer to stay at Sinai. Oh, dear friends, think about this for a moment. Think about Peter in the boat. We all criticize Peter and what happened, but he was the one who did what the other disciples didn't dare do. He got up from where he was, he responded to the call of the Lord, and he stepped one foot over the boat and went on the waves. Now, everything humanly was telling him to stay seated where he was. But where was the Lord? He wasn't found in the boat. He was found out in the waves. And to go to the Lord, Peter had to take a step to get to the promised land. Israel had to follow the cloud. Simply put, as we think of Peter, blessing wasn't found in the boat. It was found out in the waves. Oh, folks, this morning, are we comfortable for Israel ever to know the blessing of God and see the promised land? They had to leave the safety of Sinai. They had to allow their course to be set by the cloud of the Lord's presence. And likewise, as Christians, we will never develop or prove God in our lives if we never leave the safety of Sinai and pursue the course of His promptings. Oh, we see them camping around the cloud. We see their course being set by the cloud. But finally this morning, let me finish with that word of encouragement. We've had a word of examination. We've had a word of exhortation. But this morning, what about a word of encouragement? Just if you have your Bible still in Numbers chapter 10, there was wonderful confidence found and a confident security in the cloud. That's our third point, the confident security in the cloud. Let's read in Numbers 10 and verse 33. Let's look at what the Word of God says as the children of Israel moved. It says, and they departed from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day, and when they went out of the camp. Lord, I don't want to leave Sinai. Lord, I'm worried about taking a step. Lord, I'm worried about what's going to happen in the week ahead. Here's the wonderful confidence, security, find in the cloud. You see, this was this wonderful confidence. As the children of Israel were stopped and settled at Sinai, the cloud was always with them. It was always visible in their midst. During the day, it stood as a great pillar of cloud, while at night, it stood as a great pillar of fire. fire. So when it came to camping in the solitary wilderness, the presence of the Lord never left them alone. During the day, that cloud stood as a great shade. By night, it stood as a great light. And so in the midst of both barrenness and blackness, the Lord was right there in the midst. They were never left alone. Here's the thing we must remember as believers. If they had went into their tent, put their hand over their eyes and closed the curtains, everything would have looked like God had abandoned them. But in reality, God was there. God was there. Many of God's children this morning are finding themselves feeling alone in the wilderness. Feeling both abandoned and vulnerable. Some experience, perhaps through no fault of their own, has left them there, seemingly alone. Do you think today the presence of the Lord's not with me? I'm alone this morning. While experiences may leave us in the wilderness, God doesn't. You see, when we walk through the valleys, even through the valley of the shadow of death, the psalmist could confidently say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's a comfort for you this morning. The Lord hasn't left you in the wilderness. However, in relation to this cloud, when Israel decided to depart and follow the Lord, when they were on the move, it simply says they went 3 days' journey. That's a fair enough distance away from Sinai, deeper into the desert. Yes, they knew the eventual destination was Canaan. Yes, they knew they had to go to Paran first. But in the moment, it seems they didn't know the direction. They were walking through uncharted territory. They hadn't walked that way before. However, what security and confidence is found in those reassuring words of verse 33 and verse 34, that the cloud went before them. Beloved, when God moves his people, he always goes before them. And yes, in the moment, we may not know the direction God is taking us. We may not even know the destination. Like Abraham, we may be going out not exactly knowing where we're going, but the Lord has promised to give us his presence for the path. And perhaps this morning you are walking a path, or you're about to walk a path this week that you've never walked before. Is there someone here this morning and this week you know that you're going for tests or results of tests? You know this week you're going to start treatment or get treatment. This week you're starting a job. This week you're leaving a job. Whatever the path before us, the presence of the Lord is going before. He's already up ahead. In that famous chapter of John 10, the great, or the good shepherd Jesus said in John 10:4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You see, the Lord never sets us on a course, never calls us to a calling, never surrounds us with circumstances that he isn't already going before. Each time the disciples were in distress, the Lord came to where they were. We all know the story of the fiery furnace. The Lord didn't prevent the furnace. Rather, he presenced himself in the very midst of it with his faithful followers. Beloved, that principle hasn't changed in 2019. God's presence may not be seen any longer in a cloud. If you're saved this morning, he's present in your soul. Don't you forget that. He is present in our pain. He is present in our problems. He is present upon our pathway. Satan will try to tell you he's not finding any of those. He is. All the Lord's asking us to do this morning is keep following close behind. Later in the story, as most of us know, the nation of Israel forgot that fact that God was in the midst. They lost their confidence. In the very next chapter, they started complaining, and in the end, subsequently, this generation forfeited their inheritance in Canaan. Well, beloved, don't be like them this morning. Don't doubt. Don't become discouraged. The Lord hasn't left you alone. He's going before. And while it may not seem like it, God does know what He's doing. Oh, with the children of Israel camping around the cloud. The cloud was in the midst. They camped around the presence of God. Oh, beloved, this morning, where's the Lord in your life? Where's He in my life? Are we truly camping around the Lord? What about the course that was set by the cloud? Is the Lord calling you? The cloud is beginning to move. Oh, dear Christian, with love in my heart, I say this morning, don't be disobedient to His call. Go! We're going to close in a moment. Where He may lead me, I will go. Why? For I have learned to trust Him so. How can I go? What's going to happen? What will the outcome be? Will I be capable? How will this unfold? The cloud went before them. And you remember this week, the Lord's gone before. And whatever you're to face, He's already there. You keep walking and keep looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.